Johnny.
You're listening to 40 Ounces of Horror with your host, Chad.
Good evening, Perry.
And James.
Kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul.
Holy Miss Moly, got me alive.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
The power of Christ compels you!
This is my boomstick!
Hello and welcome everyone to the 40 Ounces of Horror Podcast. As usual, I am Chad, and with me is James.
As usual.
And sometimes as usual, our part-time co-host Brandon is here.
Hey everybody, good to be back.
And this is our special Labor Day edition of the podcast.
That has nothing to do with Labor Day. Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not a very special edition, but it is Labor Day, so lots of drinking.
That's true.
I see what James is drinking. I can't miss it.
Fuck yeah, two Colt 45.
I'll make that
40 ounces.
One and a quarter because they're drinks.
Yeah, that's true. Man, it's delicious. Billy D. Williams would be proud.
I'm not a big fan of Colt 45.
It's a malt liquor.
I've got a Sheet Metal Blonde Ale out of Barley Island Brewing Company out of Nobleville, Indiana.
Sheet Metal Blonde, yeah! Thank you and good night.
It's not too bad. At first it tastes great, but then the aftertaste is shit, so I probably won't drink another one of these.
It's better than that Pilsner Penis.
Yeah, it's not the Pilsner.
What about
you, Brandon? What do you drink?
Hey, I'm sticking with the fine malt liquor vein, too. I've got a couple of Mickey grenades going on there.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just pulled the pin on my second Mickey's grenade. If you guys never had Mickey's.
I'm telling you, Chad, malt liquor is delicious. The more you drink it, the more you'll enjoy it.
And
bottom
more
line.
Importantly, it'll get you drunk.
It'll get you drunk.
All right, today we got some news to get through. James got his DVD releases.
Hell yeah.
We got our recently watched movies, and we reviewed Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, and our main discussion will be horror movies based on true stories. So, but first off, let me tell you, if you want to email us, you can get a hold of us at contact at 40 Ounces of Horror. Check out our Facebook page. Subscribe to our RSS feed. And check out our Twitter at 40 Ounces of Horror.
And, hey, if you got problems with anybody at Twitter, you can come talk to me, James981 at twitter.com. We were getting some negative shit last time because I was making fun of everybody, or that one guy.
We didn't have too much of
that. We didn't, unless you got some personal stuff.
I'll fuck him up, him or her.
He actually wasn't too offended.
Oh, because he actually never played the game, right?
He thanked me for defending.
Basement champion pitcher was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, if you notice, Jake is not here again, so.
Nor will he ever be back. Sorry, Jake.
The most heavily edited episode.
Yeah,
ever.
I had to edit out some of the racism. So.
I was on Jake's part, for the record. That's why he's not here anymore.
All right.
In his defense, he is from the South.
That is.
Well,
they got good ribs down there. It's a fact. It's delicious.
Oh, man. All right. So first off.
And cut.
Okay. Well, let's start off going over some of our recently watched movies. James, have you watched anything recently?
There's a couple movies I watched. First one was, okay, this kind of gets into our debate about Comcast versus AT&T
UVerse.
The only reason why Comcast is better than UVerse is because they have video on demand. That's the only reason to pick Comcast over AT&T
UVerse. I would agree, but UVerse is better in every other way.
Well, you agree with me. That's all that matters. So I saw a Dead Hooker in a Trunk.
I didn't want to see that.
It's a very cool indie flick by IFC, and I'm very much looking forward to American Mary.
American Mary.
Something about a college student, like cadavers or something like that, or like black market organs or something like that. It looks very cool. It's been a long time since I've seen the trailer. I've seen so much other shit before then, but it looks very cool. Finally saw Burke and Hare with
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, and John Landis directed it.
I've been wanting to see it.
It was funny. It had its moments, but I was hoping for a little bit more, but it's totally worth a watch if you're sitting down and you get a chance. I finally saw Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I as well. That's one of my
watched. Yeah, I've been wanting to see that one.
Yeah. It's a very cool, funny flick, and I'm very much looking forward to the sequel, if there is going to be one.
I'd like there to be one. Yeah, it's kind of a gore fest, but not overly gory, and it's kind of done in a cool way. But, yeah, I liked it a lot. It's just a fun movie.
It's very much the Three's Company of Horror. One big misunderstanding.
Yeah, I liked it. It kind of got shit on a little bit, but I really liked it.
I dug it. Yeah. And then the last movie I saw before I went to Vegas was The Violent Kind. And it started off really cool. I wanted to like it. And then it was a big what the fuck at the end.
Kind of like Yellow Brick Road.
It was worse than that, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. Huh. Well, no, I take that back. No, Yellow Brick Road is worse than Violent Kind.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad movie. So is that all that you've seen?
That's all I watched. And I went to Vegas with Brandon, and we drank our weight in booze.
Oh, yeah? Do you have any stories you'd like to discuss here about that?
Not here.
Yeah. I've been met with a lot of people who just don't believe me about the things we did in Vegas, so we're not even going to get into it on the podcast. If you want to ask us about it in person, Brandon Gentry at Twitter and JamesDunn81.
Well, let's put it this way, that Dead Hooker in a Trunk was not a movie that James watched.
No, it was a fucking Thursday for me down in Vegas.
All right. Well, I've seen a Fright Night remake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about that.
I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would. It's a completely different movie, but, well, not completely different, but they just...
Who's the kid that, I can't think of his name. He was in Star Trek, and he was also in, he's got the curly hair, he plays the main...
Wesley Crusher?
Is that it? Wasn't that Wesley? Will Wheaton? What?
I don't know who you're talking about.
This is what I get for drinking a bunch of 40s beforehand.
Well, anyway,
I do this all the time.
It was decent. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would.
But you hated Colin Farrell.
No, I liked him, but it's a completely different take on...
How'd you like Colin Farrell?
Huh? I like Colin Farrell.
Oh, well, we can't be friends anymore.
Why?
I don't like Colin Farrell.
What's bad that he... I mean, aside from the remakes he's doing, what... He's done some pretty good stuff.
Do you like Alexander?
Didn't see that.
Oh, well, there you go.
I like Phone Booth. Phone Booth is great.
Well, touche. That's only because I had Kiefer Sutherland in
that's
it.
That's true, too.
All right, anyway, that's non-horror stuff.
No, but the part of Fright Night I did like was the guy that played Vincent, Peter Vincent. Can't think of his name again right now, but...
the actor.
Yeah, but I didn't... I still prefer the old Peter Vincent. It was a different character. But he was really good, and I've heard that they're going to make a sequel based on his character. But the big problem that I had with Fright Night was they rushed it.
That it was a remake of Fright Night?
No, they rushed it way too quick. It just, like, started right away with Jerry the Vampire being, like, evil right away. It just, they don't take their time.
It was Colin Farrell being evil for the sake of evil.
I wouldn't say that you'd hate it if you watched it, but, I mean, you're not missing a whole lot.
Now, was this version of Fright Night way more serious than the original version of Fright Night?
Much, much more serious.
Yeah. That tends to be what they do with remakes these days, is they have to keep up with the warning of seriousness and suspense.
Seriously,
and
it can't be the fucking patent of horror films.
Well, you know...
Just let it happen.
People just can't deal with cheese anymore. So, but, I mean, you know, sometimes I miss it, but...
What else did you watch besides Fright Night?
I saw John Carpenter's The Ward.
I liked that movie.
I liked it a lot. Another movie that got shit on, but I thought it was a very classic...
It was Shutter Island before Shutter Island.
Yeah, we talked about that last time, but I could see that, but not, I mean, not saying if you've seen Shutter Island, you've seen this movie. It's
No, they're totally different opposites, but
I feel bad for John that he got
ripped off, kind of.
It had much more of a classic haunted house film,
yeah.
And I liked that a lot.
Actually, The Ward's still on, I think it's still on Redbox up where I am.
Yeah, they just released on DVD last week, so. And then, getting into our movie review, went and checked out Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah, I saw the original, and, I've heard some good and bad things about the remake, but I was in Vegas the whole time. When I was in Vegas, you were back here watching movies the entire time.
Alone in the theater by myself. No,
drinking.
Let me start off by saying that I really liked the movie a lot.
Dude, I love Del Toro. I'll watch anything that he does.
That's the big thing. It's a Del Toro movie through and through. Even though he only presented it, he had his hands all over it, and you can tell.
Well, it was a remake of his favorite television show, TV movie.
But you know, I've gone through on message board and read what people don't like about, like, they showed the creatures too much and stuff like that. But
so was it all CGI?
It was CGI, but it was very well done. But there wasn't all that much CGI. It was only the creatures, and it wasn't that much. Del Toro co-wrote it, and it was directed by Troy Nixie, who this was the first thing he's directed. And it was like we always talk about Del Toro, it was a great story. And told correctly by taking his time to set it up, you know. Yeah. And
who else is like Guy Pearce, Katie Holmes? Who else is in it?
And I don't think anybody else like.
Do you know that chick's name?
Notable. What chick?
The girl, little girl.
It's like Bailey something. But
sorry, Bailey, if you're listening.
No, but it's not scary in the traditional
sense. Sorry, you can't drink beer with us.
Like, people keep talking about how it's not scary. Well, it's none of Del Toro's movies are truly scary. They're just more creep-me-ass.
Creep-me-ass.
You see that movie? Fucking creep-me-ass.
Creepy atmosphere and suspenseful, but it had a beautiful set. The set was great, great atmosphere. But, yes, people say they show the creature too much, but...
But it worked for it?
Yeah, it worked. I mean, because it's more fantastical. It's fantastical is a word. I looked it up before I put it in my notes.
Fantastical?
Fantastical. It's much more like Del Toro's fantasy movies, like Orphanage, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, on a side note, this is going to piss you off. Did you know Orphanage is getting remade?
I did read that, and I decided not to even acknowledge it. But, no. Yeah,
very upsetting.
I really enjoyed... what it was. It started off kind of, well, let's just say it's based around teeth, and I have trouble with teeth.
Did you ever see that movie, Teeth?
Yeah, but not that kind of teeth I have trouble with.
So if you had to pick a movie to watch this weekend in the box office, would Fright of the Dark be number one?
Don't be afraid. Yes, I would pick that movie. Definitely.
Number one.
Well, this coming weekend is, or is it this weekend, Apollo 18 came out. Which,
yeah, but that's just been shit on all over the place.
Too. I'm sad that it's getting shit on so much. I mean, that's not going to deter me one bit, but I have been looking forward to that movie for quite
really?
A while. Yeah. I think it's... I'm a real big fan of, like,
do you like the found footage movies?
I love the found footage movies, and I think that is a fantastic idea and theme for a movie.
Yeah, I was really excited about it, but what I've been hearing just hasn't... Usually I don't listen to what I hear, but when it's such a strong consensus. but, yeah. Like,
kind of like Hell Ride.
Hellride. I couldn't make it through 10 minutes.
I sat through that whole movie.
Did you really?
Well, actually, if it goes back to the whole five rules I had for watching bad movies, you did under the 20-minute mark.
Yeah, yeah.
I was committed past the 20, so I had to watch it.
Yeah, but no, definitely do not restrain from going to see Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, especially if you're a Del Toro fan. It is a very good Del Toro movie, right up there with Orphanage and Pan's Labyrinth and stuff like that.
That's right up there with them?
Oh, not quite. It's like... fantasy as Pan's Labyrinth.
And fantastical.
Fantastical.
Yeah, it's a word. But not as dark as The Orphanage. It could be. It's The Orphanage meets The Gate.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Orphanage meets The Gate?
I like The Gate.
He just went there.
Dude, The Gate's one of my favorite movies. But yeah, I highly recommend the movie. Do not refrain yourself from... Don't listen to the naysayers. Go see it. I highly recommend it. Are you going to go out and see Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, I totally went to. It's just, I lost my ass in Vegas. I mean, I lost money out there. The thing is, when you go to Vegas, you know you're going to lose money. You're going to have a good time. But I just,
I'm pretty sure Brandon's still drunk from Vegas. It was a week ago.
It was stupid.
Yeah, I haven't been able to do anything. I'm surprised that James has watched as many movies as he had since we got back, but honestly.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, let's move on and get to some news and notes we got here. First off, still, again, nothing to do with Labor Day or news.
Is that British?
Yes, it's like the Queen's.
Why do I have that in my head for Labor Day?
I don't know.
It just sounds cool.
It's like the Queen comes out to the ring, too.
The Queen? Queen.
Anyway, a few episodes ago... that's what you get with 40 ounces of horror. A few episodes ago, we discussed the news that Spike Lee would be directing the remake of...
Josh Brolin's going to be in it, right?
And yes, Josh Brolin has been cast in the lead role, which I don't like. I don't hate Josh Brolin.
I didn't like that, but now I'm intrigued.
I'm very intrigued. I mean, I don't like the idea of them remaking this movie, but...
No, but he plays a badass very well.
Yeah, yeah. So Josh Brolin has been cast in the lead role in Park Chan-wook's remake of Oldboy. Well, Spike Lee's remake of Park Chan-wook.
So that makes me think, if this movie's successful, if they're going to continue through the trilogy and make the other two movies that are in it.
I hadn't,
or they're just going to do it
one
on. No, I just said maybe. Oh. If it's successful.
I like James Brolin, but I just don't think he's done anything good since he played Brandon in Goonies.
I have no rebuttal to that. Yeah, an Old Country for Old Man. He was that was a cool character.
Movie, but he was good in that movie. And spoiler alert, I was pissed when they killed him.
And but again, since he played me in Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay. What are you laughing about?
I'm in a Brandon.
Man, I just pulled the pan on my third Mickey's grenade, man. I was good.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm ready to open my... trying to open my Sam Adams.
I don't think that's a twist off.
I think you need a bottle opener.
I think you need some calloused fingers.
Sam Adams Oktoberfest on the recommendation of Brandon and James last week.
Fantastic.
Or Brandon and Jake.
Carl and listen.
Man, I'll tell you what.
That's delicious. Anyway, next piece of news. Return of the Living Dead retrospective is being released called More Brains.
I'm gonna cut you off there because I want to talk about this a little bit.
Okay, well, all right. Go for it.
This is something that I am extremely pumped about. The new retrospective is in the works for Return of the Living Dead, entitled, like Chad said, More Brains, or Return of the Living Dead.
More what?
More Brains.
Brains.
Send more paramedics. Don't you think they could have given this a better title, though? I mean, yeah. More Brains, Return of the Living Dead. It'll still be pretty cool, though. The people behind this award-winning Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street Legacy. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't see
it. No, it was I haven't even heard of this.
It was a whole documentary about the whole Nightmare on Elm Street series. And you never saw it?
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I haven't got around to seeing that yet.
Well, anyway, the people behind that and the Bio Channel's Inside Story have teamed up to take a closer look, an in-depth look, at a fan-favorite cult classic flick, which if you haven't seen it, and fuck you if you haven't seen it, which mixes the best gore, comedy, blood, guts, sex, and punk, which you know what that means, Chad.
What's that?
We're going to get fucked again and buy another special edition of this movie.
Are you saying they're just pimping this thing out for more money?
Dude, they totally do. They do this with everything.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to my DVD releases, and I'll tell you about all that.
I already know where you're going with that. Let me read you this from the press release. This entertaining and informative project will be the ultimate account of the Return of the Living Dead. It features, for the first time ever, contributions from all the main cast, as well as clips, photographs, storyboards, conceptual art, publicity materials, archival documents, and behind-the-scenes footage.
But fetish?
Footage.
No. You were almost there!
I know, I was almost there. In addition to the comprehensive two-hour documentary, the October DVD release features an additional 2 hours of killer extras. So,
let's hear it for Chad's reading skills there.
Fetish.
That was his best one to date.
That was.
Well, you know.
Actually, that would sound better if you were drinking malt liquor.
Sounds like this DVD release is gonna have it.
No, I'm totally gonna buy it. I love Return of the Dead. Actually came out with a big comprehensive book, like a big compendium, a couple months ago that had it was front to back, somebody doing a retrospective, and they had all these pictures and stuff like that of the cast, like during the filming of the movie. And it was really cool. I haven't picked it up yet. I think it's like $35 on Amazon.
I didn't see in here, maybe I missed it. Did they say whether this is gonna be DVD or Blu-ray? Is it going to be Blu-ray?
No, it started filming in April, and I don't know if it's wrapped up yet or not, but they haven't said anything about it. Everybody just knows it's in the works, and it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, so, all right, let's get to my next piece of news here. The season premiere, if you didn't know, of The Walking Dead is October 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern, and they just supersized it to 90 minutes long.
Nice.
So, it's going to be kicking off a two-week-long AMC Fear Fest leading up to Halloween.
I got something to say about that. But, what's the name of that motherfucker that took over for Frank Darabont?
Glenn Mazzara.
Did you see all that shit that he already posted? Spoilers for season two
that he didn't even say? No, I didn't
see that. People that even read the book, he just ruined a ton of shit
really?
For people.
Really? I did not see that. But, well, on the downside of things, let me read this. The final six episodes of the season will commence on February 12th. So what they're doing is splitting the season.
They're doing the WWE on us.
Yeah.
Wait, go back? What?
The season premiere of The Walking Dead is on October 16th. They will be showing six episodes, and that's it. The final six episodes won't air until February 12th. So they're taking a holiday break like all these other crappy WB shows.
That is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Hey, but wait, that makes me think, what if Frank Darabont finished editing the first six episodes, but there's such a big difference between how they look in the last six episodes that they did a break?
I mean, I guess that's possible, but I mean, that's kind of...
Because they did fire him when he was still... I mean, you're still finishing editing the last episodes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an idea. Maybe that's why I did that.
I don't want to spend too much on Walking Dead. Don't you have a little bit of piece of Walking Dead?
Yeah, but that gets in my DVD releases.
Okay. What were you getting ready to say?
The only other miscellaneous news I had was there's a couple of films that got announced for the Toronto After Dark Film Festival. I'm just going to go through them here real fast. Monster Brawl, a crowd-pleasing horror action comedy about an outrageous sporting event that sees fan favorites dueling it out to see who is the greatest monster of all. I am in. Dude, all I love is foam rubber monsters fighting it out. Dude, I totally want to see this. Father's Day, a group of misfits trying to track down a deranged serial killer. Sounds very original. Not. Exit Humanity, a live-action zombie/animated flick. I don't know, it's kind of been done before, but we'll see about that. The Divide, two survivors duking out in the basement of a New York building. The Day the World Ends. That could have a really good spin on it. We'll see.
Usually Toronto Film Fest has some pretty good movies that come out of it, so.
What else? The last one here is The Theater Bazaar. It's a new anthology film featuring several twisted horror stories incorporating the talents of numerous cult horror icons, including the ever-omnipresent Tom Savini, who's always in anything, and Udo Kier. I'm a huge Udo Kier fan, so I'm very excited about this.
I loved him in Ace Ventura.
I loved him in Cigarette Burns. And I loved Tom Savini in...
Everything.
Yes.
Okay, so that's all I have for news. Now, let's get into James's DVD and Blu-ray releases. James wanted some...
You know, I think my segment deserves some intro music.
I think
it does. Isn't that right, Brandon?
I could agree with that.
Yeah. So, Chad, right now, why don't you hit my intro music? Ah, listen to that. Feel it. There you go. All right. Getting into DVD releases. Fright Night.
DVD releases.
DVD releases. You know what I'm talking about. Brandon? How many Mickeys have you had right now?
Mickey's beer.
It's Mickey's delicious. Anyways, my first one for my DVD releases is Fright Night, going back to what Chad said. I'm actually talking about the great original 1985 classic that should have never been fucking touched in the first place. Finally comes home on Blu-ray December 13th. Included will be an 8-page booklet complete with original essays, stills, and poster art, and that's not fucking cool enough for you. It will also feature an isolated score from the film courtesy of Twilight Time Release. That's cool that they're actually releasing the Blu-ray and the score, so you don't have to buy the soundtrack separate. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah. And now, going back to what Chad said about The Walking Dead, we're not trying to talk about The Walking Dead all the time, but it is, like, I don't know, a major component nowadays.
Well,
to,
yeah, it's kind of popular in the news right now.
So anyways, The Walking Dead's coming out with a special 10 edition for Blu-ray and, I think, DVD. You know what's going to happen again. We talked about it before. The special edition Collector's 10 contains all 6 episodes, of course, and new behind-the-scenes features including audio commentary, extra footage, and the fan-requested black-and-white pilot. How do you think that black-and-white pilot's going to look?
It's going to look like the pilot episode in black-and-white.
There you go. In addition to the Blu-ray 10, this edition will also contain an exclusive wearable mask from NECA designed by makeup god Greg Nicotero. The first 100,000 of the collector's tins will also include training cards. I was going to pass it up until I read about the mask. Now I'm fucking committed to rebuying it again. Buying the tin. Which is very, very cool. I just hope the mask looks cool. I just hope it's not like a shitty
mask. What kind
mask
it is.
It's going to be a paper cutout.
And I'm going to buy it just because I'm a sucker. All right. Other notables include a Scream 5 box set that includes 2 documentaries, which was on sale last week for $20 on Amazon. Yeah, the Blu-ray box set. That's insane.
How much is Wes Craven going to be featured in this box set? Do you know?
I don't know. But I know Ryan Turk, who is who write the main person for Shock Till You Drop, did the documentary. And, that should be worth its weight in gold. So I've heard. I haven't seen it. Brandon's favorite, Flowers in the Attic, gets another re-release courtesy of Midnight Madness series, which you talked about before.
Why? This is the third episode that Flowers in the Attic has come up, and it's not a horror movie.
This movie's not even a horror movie.
No, but it's a very scary movie. I am not eating rat-filled laced donuts.
Let's get this straight here. In all honesty, I saw that movie when I was a kid, and I was like, this is a great fantastic movie. I saw it, you know, like about last year, again, to use Chad's words, it was fantastical.
I said fantastical.
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 And that's about it.
But it's a really sad, depressing movie. I mean, it's horrible. Anyways, Brandon's movie, Flowers in the Attic, is another re-release courtesy of Midnight Madness series. You brought this up before last time in the news. Midnight Madness series, they're trying to re-release movies with new cover art.
That's all it is, cover art. That's what I figured.
And it's just a really cheap way to reissue it. Slap on some new cover art, label it Midnight Madness Series, and there you have it. What else? The stuff also gets released, We Are the Night, and Dead Heat with Joe Piscopo. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
There you go. Dead Heat with Joe Piscopo, courtesy once again of the Midnight Madness Series. These last couple of films will be released the week of September 26th. One more thing that I wasn't going to add on, just because of all the different watered-down versions, but Chad sent it to me. Is The Evil Dead 2 is coming out to Blu-ray November 15th, which means look for another version December 15th, January 15th, and February 15th. And that is it this week for the DVD. Thank you. That's the truth. How many versions of The Evil Dead are there out there?
Oh, man, I can't even count. I actually tried to look it up one time, and it's ridiculous.
How much more?
That's crazy.
How much?
I have seen more shit than Bruce Campbell, and he was in that movie.
I mean, how much more stuff can they add?
I don't know. Make it crystal clear with Blu-ray, but that's about it. Wait till they release Army of... Has Army of Darkness been released on Blu-ray?
I think I had... If it hasn't, I think I read this. It's going to be soon.
We need to get Bruce Campbell on this show.
Dude, he would.
He would be our...
Have you ever seen Bruce Campbell do a Q&A session? Have you ever seen him host one? He destroys absolutely everybody that asks him a question. It is hilarious. It's like a... Okay, normally when, like, I guess guests go to, like, a convention or something, they always have handlers that, like, help them through questions, be like, next guest, please. He doesn't ask for one. He just sits up there by himself. He's like, yeah, who's got another question? Yeah, that guy over there that's never been laid. That guy. And he just gives, like, he shits on it. It's so hilarious. Like, he gives honest answers, but the way he addresses it, it's like a roast, but he's roasting everybody that asks him a question. It's hilarious. He probably would do this podcast.
He would just shit on us.
He would just shit on us. I would take it for 45 minutes. I'd go in Chad's bathroom and cry.
All right, so I think we are ready to talk about...
Getting the meat and potatoes.
talk about horror movies based on true stories. So,
is it that time already?
It's that time already. So let me get some of the Twitter comments out here.
Oh, great, because I love these.
Well, none of them are excited. I just asked, you know, suggestions that we should talk about. You know, horror movie plots and ideas are typically influenced by real-life accounts of horrific events.
Like Gremlins?
Yes.
That would be awesome. A number of horror movie directors, you know, they attribute their movie plots to these accounts. Like, Wes Craven attributes Freddy to some scary dude that...
The guy that showed up on his doorstep.
Yeah, but,
how scary would that be if you were a child seeing that through your window? And then you run downstairs to the front door and look through your people, and the guy's right there on the fucking footstep staring you in the eye.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Uncle Beck?
Uncle Buck? Uncle Beck?
Uncle Buck, when he looks out the mail hole, and there's three dudes just staring at him.
Wait, oh, maybe I like that the idea it. Of Uncle Beck better. Two turntables and a microphone. Where is that?
Anyway.
That dude can dance. You ever seen him go off?
But, you know, there's a lot of movies.
Do a little soft shoe.
There's a lot of movies that claim that they're based on actual events.
Who knows? We've seen most of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes that's just a load of shit, but, okay, well, here we go. Here's our first Twitter suggestion. At BobGray71 says, Psycho, the main one based on Ed Gein, but best is Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, is based on Henry Lee Lucas. Not horror-ish, but hard to watch.
That was very horror-ish. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer came out in 1986, inspired by Henry Lucas, who had an accomplice, Otis Toole. The Lucas guy confessed to more than 600 murders, but most of his convictions were disapproved, and he was only convicted of 11 murders.
Well, wasn't he, they didn't even believe that he killed all the people that he claimed that he killed, right?
No, but the thing was like, how genuine and how upfront he was with the whole thing. But if you watch that movie, like, he videotapes, well, there's one scene that I remember that he videotapes, like, where he rapes that girl, and then he kills her with his friend. The movie's pretty brutal.
Oh, it's very brutal.
Was this the guy who built the murder mansion around, like, one of the world's fairs? Have you guys ever seen the documentary based on this guy? This is true.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I forget the name of this guy, but, like, look this up. There was a dude who, he built this big, huge house, and it was basically like a murder house. And this is true. And it was around one of the world's fairs, and he would rent these rooms to people, and it was like his house was like a labyrinth. And he would,
like, people under the stairs?
He would rent these rooms to people. And then sneak in their rooms, and they couldn't get out in the middle of the night, and he would just do all this, like, horrific shit to them.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, there was a documentary I watched about it, I don't know, about a year ago. It was pretty wild.
Dude, I'm still on my documentary kick where I can watch all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I've never heard of that at all.
look it up.
I will.
Google that shit.
Okay. But, the other one he said was Psycho. Now, Psycho is a little bit different because it's based on Ed Gein, but...
Yeah, but it was written by Robert Botch. It was based off Ed Gein, but it also inspired Deranged and Silence of the Lambs.
But what I was getting to was, you're right, it was, there's so much crap that's loosely based on Ed Gein that, now I wanted to get a little bit more into him because this dude was effed up. But, he inspired, like you said, Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
Deranged, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, well, Buffalo Bill's character in Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. But, they were all inspired by Ed Gein, and Ed Gein was a Wisconsin man who was arrested in 1957 for committing two murders and digging up the corpses of countless other women who reminded him of his dead mother, so that's where the Psycho reference comes in. He skinned the bodies to make lampshades, socks, and a woman's suit in hopes of becoming a woman.
Have you ever seen any of those pictures?
Yes.
In the crime scene?
Yeah.
He had human bowls that were hands. Well, he had lamps that were made of, like, women's thighs. Like
I wrote down this list. while searching the house, the authorities found
all the authorities.
And
remember, this is true. This is
all true. Yeah. This is all Ed Gein. Searching the house, authorities found 4 noses, whole human bones and fragments, 9 masks of human skin, bowls made from human skulls, 10 female heads with the tops sawn off, human skin covering several chair seats, a woman named Mary Hogan's head in a paper bag, another woman named Bernice Warden's head in a burlap sack, 9 vulvas in a shoebox, a belt made from human female nipples, skulls on his bedposts, organs in the refrigerator, a pair of lips on a drawstring for a window shade, and a lampshade made from skin from a human face. Now,
Dumb, did this guy have
this
a deal?
Is true.
Does this guy have a deal with Glade Plug It In? Like, what did this place smell like?
Yeah, I mean, that's
horrible.
That's true. That's not a movie. But there is an Ed Gein movie. I forget. It's called like.
Yeah, it's got Kane Hodder in it, too.
Isn't it? Yeah. I forget what it's called. It's called Ed Gein.
It's called Ed Gein.
Yeah, something like that. But that's like the most truest like form of.
But you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. When you think of something in your mind, it's more horrific than anything you could ever put on celluloid. But the thing is, like, if you look him up, like, Google image Ed Gein and you'll see all these images that Chad just talked about. Like, it's really fucking horrific.
Yeah, like, I forget how he got caught. Somebody was missing, and he had a receipt at the store that she worked at or something. He was the last person to be there.
It fucking house stank. That's how he got caught.
But here's the thing is,
he got a goddamn nipple on the driveway.
Here's the thing. He only killed 2 people. Now, you'd think that he killed a lot more
people. No, he dug
them
all up.
The rest of them was him digging up all these bodies. Now, that's
what goes back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre when they open with the whole graveyard scene and that big sun flare on the tombstone.
Yeah.
And you see that big corpse hanging there.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, when I read 9 vulvas in a shoebox, I was like, what the fuck, man?
That's a movie title in itself.
Like, is that 8 heads in a duffel bag?
Yeah.
9 vulva bag?
Duffalo bag.
Duffel bag.
Oh, duffalo bag. Is that a double bill feature with 9 vulvas in a shoebox?
Sure. Or
9 heads in a duffel bag?
Starring Joe Pesci.
Wait, did you say 9 vulvos?
9 vulvas. That'd be impressive. Of course, it's got to be a circus. Come into his shoebox.
Oh, man.
Gotcha.
Because it's a Volvo. Because it's a car.
Okay. All right. Next suggestion from Twitter, at Jeff Biscuits. Jaws, terrifying film, and the book was inspired by real shark attacks along the coast of New Jersey in 1912, which I read 1916, so. But,
Jeff Biscuits. That's a damn shame you're wrong, man.
Hell, I could be wrong. My research could be bad, but
it's our fucking podcast.
A lot of people don't know that Jaws was actually the movie was based more on a novel.
Yeah.
For the record, Jaws is like one of my favorite movies of all time. Like not just horror movie. I mean, it was. I wish I was alive when it came out because I'm sure it was the shit.
That itty seat with the boat still gets me.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
But anyway, the novelist Peter Benchley wrote the book. He was inspired.
Actually, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
This is a quick plug into deadlydead.com t-shirts. Isn't there a cool Jaws shirt on there?
Yeah, it's a picture of Chief Brody, and it says, smile, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Do we even have that website still?
I believe so.
Yeah. Deadlydead.com.
Deadlydead.com.
If it's not there, we need to integrate it into the 40 Ounces of Horror website.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the novel was inspired in part by a series of shark attacks. It was on the New Jersey shore in 1916, like we said, but over a 12-day period in July of 1916.
That's the best thing that's happened in Jersey in a long time. I don't give a fuck. It's the armpit of America.
Anyway, in July of that year, 5 people were attacked, 4 of whom died, and a 7-foot-long great white shark was killed on July 14th, and its stomach was found to contain human remains.
Wow.
It's crazy how much shit is in the sea that nobody finds or nobody knows about.
The sea's a scary place, man.
I know.
I still can't swim in the ocean without water shoes. Let it be known.
They still make water shoes?
I don't care. I will wear whatever shoes I can find in the ocean because I will not go in barefoot. I had a horrible experience once I was a kid, so.
You know, on the topic of shark movies, I am honestly looking forward to that new shark movie.
Shark Night 3D?
Yes. I'm looking forward to it because I love me some shark movies, and I know it's probably a shit fest.
But we should watch it.
But we're going to see it because that's what we do.
And it's in 3D.
And it's in 3D.
It's going to be a campy.
3D brings asses.
It's going to be a campy, fun movie.
I'm just kind of interested to see how well the sharks in CGI are done.
I mean, the sharks in Deep Blue Sea weren't bad.
Bluest, my head is like a shark's fin. That's what LJ says.
LL was the best part of that movie.
No, Samuel L. Jackson was before he got eaten.
That was based on a true story as well.
He really did get eaten by a
shark. Yeah, that was based on the Samuel L. Jackson getting eaten by a shark story. He's not dead, he's not.
Anyway, to finish up Jaws, to this day there's still debate over whether or not the shark was the culprit. Some scientists argue that it was probably a bull shark, but no further attacks were reported that summer after it was killed. So, like, even something as you wouldn't think that that was actually based on a true story. I mean, people get attacked by sharks, yeah. But the novel that it was based on was based on, I mean, 1916, that was a long time ago, so.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say it, but yeah.
What?
No, I was going to say something, but it would totally get edited out. I mean, anyway. I mean, crazy shit has happened before. Like, Steve Irwin got hit by that fucking stingray and that killed him. That was
fucked up, man. I wonder where they're going to make that movie.
That would be a Lifetime movie.
Actually, there was footage of that happening, and
I can't watch that.
They destroyed it, but I can't.
I didn't even know stingray.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't interested. And another suggestion from at Jeff Biscuits, he sent to The Hills Have Eyes, inspired by the legend of Sonny Bean and his clan of cannibals. I only mention it because I'm Scottish.
All right.
Wow, I did not know that that was based on a true story. Based, I'm sure.
Here we go. The Hills Have Eyes, the movie is inspired by the legend of Alexander Sawney Bean, a Scotsman of the 15th or 16th century who reportedly headed a 40-person clan that killed and ate over 1,000 people living in caves for 25 years before being caught and put to death.
I'm here for your whiskey and your people. I come to eat your people. Not in that order. And this is my best Scottish accent that I have.
Hey, Jeff Biscuits. Would you please record yourself talking and...
I don't think he's that Scottish.
It'd be better than what James's shit Scottish just sounded like.
Hey, I'm Jeff Biscuits. I live the hills have eyes.
James is definitely into his second 40 ounce. this guy, Alexander Sonny Bean, his life inspired numerous stories and films worldwide, but most serious historians today don't believe that Bean even ever existed. So...
His first name was Bean?
No, Sawney. No, Alexander Bean. His nickname was Sawney.
Wow.
Shawnee. I bet it's said different. Scottish.
Seamus.
Secretly, he lives today as Jeff Biscuits.
Sawney. Actually, in Scottish, it sounds like Jim. But,
Freedom.
So, yeah.
Freedom.
So, that's a little bit scary. I think The Hills Have Eyes is based on a true story.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Based off the true story of William Wallace.
And one more suggestion from Twitter, at J.R. Schleicher, I'm going to go with Schleicher, says, got to talk about The Exorcist. And I did have that in my notes. The Exorcist is based on a true story. Well, I mean, depends on if you believe in...
No shit, Schleicher.
if you believe in demonic possession. But William Peter Blatty was a screenwriter and author of the novel, which was another movie based on a book, if you didn't know that. The Exorcist was inspired by an article he read in college at Georgetown University about an exorcism performed on a 13-year-old boy in Mount Rainier, Maryland, in 1949. The story's details have been muddled through the years, perhaps intentionally so, in order to protect the family, but the boy's actual home lay in Cottage City, Maryland, and the exorcism was performed in St. Louis. Evidence points to the boy's behavior not being nearly as outrageous or supernatural as was portrayed in the film. He did reportedly talk using a very weird voice. The word hell appeared on his arm, and the furniture in his room used to move around him.
Damn.
That's...
convinced. It happened.
Well, you know, just like Exorcism of Emily Rose was based on Annalise Michelle or whatever her name was, like, a long time ago.
Yeah. Actually, I'll bring that up later. I'll talk about Exorcism.
Well, I mean, you got that? Go for it.
All right. Actually, like what Chad said, The Exorcism of Emily Rose was inspired by a 16-year-old German girl who, in 1968, began displaying symptoms of demonic possession, which, we talked about it. I totally believe in that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That shit's scary, man.
Exactly. Who, for years, suffered paralysis, self-abuse, starvation, and demonic visions. Two priests performed exorcisms of what was believed to be several demons over 10 months.
Yeah. And
that's a scary fucking movie, if you ever see. That's one.
Oh,
I
like that. That's one of my
favorites. One of Karen's top five movies.
And I love Jennifer Carpenter, like I've said before. But
Jennifer Carpenter, man.
Even though she's got that weird eye going for her, it's still really hot.
The fact that she has not won an Academy Award,
you know, she has
for those physical performances.
You know, she has a six-pack. Have you seen her in Dexter?
Yeah.
She has a goddamn six-pack. It's ridiculous.
Like a travesty in the film community that she has not received some kind of award.
Oh, here.
I thought her acting in Quarantine, I said this before, was phenomenal.
That's true.
Nobody can scream and nobody can be as scared as Jennifer Carpenter.
I don't see why there's other people now that are, people are saying, oh, she's a new Scream Queen, she's done this and this. Jennifer Carpenter hasn't gotten any recognition whatsoever from anybody.
No.
I mean, I think her biggest recognition is Dexter. But, yeah, so, and another, Last Exorcism, and all those Exorcism movies are obviously based on true stories. I mean,
yeah, but the Exorcism of Emily Rose is by far.
Specifically, the Annalise Michelle, which, if you search it out on the internet, there's alleged voice recordings of the Exorcism that.
I've heard them.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you're sitting there at night.
If it's real.
Whether you believe in it or not, that shit's a little bit scary.
If it's real, I put some pee in my pants. You know?
But, yeah, so.
What? Oh, you have another one?
Brandon needs some more.
All right, hold on. I have to go get Brandon more beer. Keep talking, Chad.
All right. Well, I'll move on. You know, that's all it for Twitter suggestions. But I'll go on to some of the ones that I brought up. One of the scariest ones. James just spilled a lot of beer.
Chad's mini fridge is filled with a bunch of drunk midgets. Hey, buddy, what's going on? I went out first.
And James.
Anyway, one that terrifies me, because this could really happen, open water.
Oh, shit.
In January...
Okay, A, I would never be in fucking open water by myself. And B, I would never be in fucking open water by myself.
All right, for those of you who have not seen it, the movie's all right. It's kind of slow. It's just the thought of what happens is terrifying. In January of 1998, a married couple disappeared off Australia's Great Barrier Reef after a diving company accidentally left them behind in the water. It took 2 days for the crew to realize that they'd left the couple behind when they found a bag containing a wallet and passports. And,
wasn't there an episode of Survivor Man where he got left in the water for like 7 days or something like that?
I think he was in a raft, though.
But it was same thing as like, well, not kind of like up in water, but I mean still, like being out there by yourself in the ocean.
Just
even by yourself.
Yeah, even if you weren't in the water, like the mental ramifications.
Like, think about it, you diving underwater, you're out there on a cruise trip, whatever, people, and you come up and nobody's around.
You know what I do? I get in water, I swallow a bunch of fucking water and die. I'm not going to stay out there by myself.
That
if you were
would
out there in the
terrifying.
Ocean by yourself, what would you do?
That's the thing. You know, they conducted a search, their bodies were never found. They did find belongings. Weeks later, but they showed no signs of the violent shark attacks that the film suggests. So, yeah, they just disappeared. They're gone forever.
Dude, I wouldn't put myself in that position.
That's,
no way.
The thought of that scares the shit out of me.
Oh, totally, yeah. Man.
It's like when you're diving around underwater and you're running out of air and you come up and hit somebody's raft.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that kind of fear.
Wait, you know, like I said, I really like shark movies because sharks are real and they're real fucking scary.
I know, like, Roger Corman's Shocktopus. Sharktopus?
Shocktopus.
Sharktopus.
Is that like
that's a different
monkey.
Type of movie.
Shocktopus.
But, you know, to touch on that a little bit, I would really like to see, I could be wrong about this, but as far as I know, there is only one movie based on the USS Indianapolis, and if you're not familiar with that, that's the
Is it called Battleship?
The speech that Quint gives in the movie Jaws, that's a real story.
Yeah.
1,100 men went in the water.
Yeah.
Like 900 or so of them got eaten by sharks when they were delivering the bomb. So I think they should make a movie, a horror-style movie. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I think there's only one movie based on that, and it was like a 1960s movie. And it really wasn't a horror movie. It was just more of like a 1960s-style
movie.
I don't
know.
Like a
do you think they could
like
take that in a horror
movie.
Direction? I mean,
I think they could
they
because
totally
that
could.
Would be...
More like, more like an open water... Or,
that is real-life horror. I mean, those guys... People survived the missile attack on the ship, the torpedo attack that took the ship down. They didn't survive the shark attacks. That's scary shit.
I could totally see that happening. That'd be a really good movie.
Well, it'd just be interesting to watch any type of documentation on that story, because, I mean, it's pretty interesting.
And if they're going to do it, they should do it now with some of those guys. There's like a handful of those guys that are still alive.
They had a big commemoration here a few years ago. They had a some kind of memorial built for them here in Indianapolis. But, you know, I think towards the end of this, I think we should get more to stories that we know of that they should make movies out of.
Wait, before we get to that, I got a couple that apparently have been based on true stories.
Go for it.
All right. Did you see the movie Them, 2006, that French film?
I have not
film?
Seen that movie.
You haven't seen Them?
It's a French film that I haven't got around to seeing.
You talked about how you love French films before and how you've seen
it. I didn't say that I didn't want to see it.
Them, 2006, it was based around a couple on a retreat who they ended up getting tortured and stalked by a group of kids. Starts off at 3 a.m. These group of people in hoodies totally covering their faces. They have no idea what's going on. And,
wait, what are they in?
Hoodies?
Oh. I think you said hoodies.
Yeah, I heard hoodies.
Hoodies?
I want to be with you.
So the hoodies. Kids are wearing hoodies. Continue.
Hoodies, yeah. But anyway, I guess that's what the story is based around. I didn't look any much more of that.
This podcast has been sponsored by Cole 45 Malt Liquor.
All right, The Entity. Did you guys ever see this? It was on the instant queue. It was kind of like this woman. Everybody's smiling at me right now. The drunk's sitting in. We're about finished our podcast. And I got a bunch of shit I haven't even fucking talked about.
All right, just continue.
The Serpent and the Rainbow. You guys seen that movie?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's a lot of people. It's a great movie.
Well, I mean, that movie, I went over that movie a little bit. That movie's just based on all the true lore of, like, you know, the...
Yeah, I mean, although it's greatly exaggerated from the book by Wade Davis, it's in a true account of his experiences of zombification.
Yeah, which it was, like, all over the place in literature and history. They have chemicals that they gave to people to make them appear dead, and people thought they were dead.
That shit is true. I work in a pharmacy. I've seen it.
Well, there's chemicals in the blowfish that I think they got is where they got the chemical out of a blowfish.
Blowfish.
But
the human torch was the night of bank loan.
The voodoo zombie. Voodoo zombie is that shit's real.
It is. You got any more stuff you want to talk about?
Yeah. I had two more movies I want to talk about. One of them was Amityville, but I think everybody pretty much gets that.
Yeah.
Whether it's real or not, most people, I think, have
determined. I call bullshit on Amityville. Yeah. Like, I've seen way too many stuff.
Yeah. Dude, way too Amityville 2, The Possession, is way more hardcore than people think. Like, you really need to see that movie.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about the true story rather than the movie.
Amityville 2, Possession, goes back to what originally happened before all those people moved in.
What was the name of the people who wrote the story? Who
the Lutzes.
The Lutzes?
Yes.
Man, I think that those people were just smooth, slick-ass motherfuckers who wrote the story. I mean, it's based on a true thing. The killings really did happen in the house. But what I believe is they just had a story to tell. Man, James, count my Mickeys.
Did the killings happen for real?
I'm counting Brandy's Mickeys right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
So back to the Amityville Horror, I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, I think I do too, even though I want to believe because there's a lot of cool pictures allegedly out there of the place being haunted. But I think everybody knows enough about that story that we can move on. One more movie that I wanted to go on that it disturbs the shit out of me. I don't know if you've seen this, Brandon. Jack Ketchum's The Girl Next Door. This movie...
Have you seen The Woman?
I have seen The Woman, which...
I think The Woman is worse than The Girl Next Door.
Wait, oh, come on.
Is The Woman a movie?
Yes.
Have you seen The Woman, Chad? Yeah.
Yes, I have seen The Woman. But anyway, let me read it. Okay, The Girl Next Door, it's based on a movie, or the movie's based on the novel by Jack Ketchum.
I can't believe that happened, though.
Sylvia Likens and her young sister, Jenny, were left in the care of Gertrude Banaszewski, I can't read her, a single mother of 7 children by their parents, who were traveling carnival workers. As the months passed, Sylvia became the target of horrendous abuse at the hands of Banaszewski, who not only senselessly beat the young girl, but allowed her children to do so as well.
And rape and torture.
And the neighborhood children joined in.
Children.
Who frequently visited the household. The final days of young Sylvia's life were spent locked in the basement of the home, where she was tied up, starved, beaten, burnt, and tortured. Only 3 months after arriving
at
the
home... You ever seen that movie, Brandon?
Hey, wait, is this...
Sylvia Likens succumbed to her injuries and died. Now,
Brandon, is this the house that was in Indianapolis?
This was based on a story right here about 10 miles away from here.
Yeah, and they...
Did you ever see this movie, Brandon?
No, I didn't see the movie, but I know the story.
If you watch this movie, don't let your wife be anywhere near.
You can't.
This movie is...
Karen got pissed.
I was, like, physically upset after this movie.
Yeah, my wife's great-grandma told us all about the real story, because she totally remembers
it. Karen got pissed. She was like, you get off on this shit. I was like, no, I'm watching it because, like...
It's a horror.
Yeah, it's a horror flick.
It's based on a true story, but...
She's like, I can't believe you're watching this stuff.
Oh, they embellished a bit of it, but what happened, man, it
I can't imagine.
They tore the house down like 2 years ago.
Driven by there.
I can't imagine reading the book. I can't imagine just sitting there reading.
I've driven by the house that this took place at. The house is not there anymore. It is actually a parking lot for a church across the street now. But,
which is a good use for it.
But just knowing that this happened, I have chills right now thinking about this.
I think that trumps anything we've talked about today.
That's why I saved it for last, because after I watched this movie, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, read that it was based on a true story. So I went and investigated, and to my surprise, it happened 10 minutes away from my house. But it was in the 60s, well before I was born. So I started reading more and more into it. And
still, knowing what the Midwest does is kind of
torture
fucked up.
That this little girl, does it say how old she was?
She was young.
She was young, like 15, 14, 50, something like that. Was just like in this basement, tortured, pushed down the stairs, starved, beaten, for no reason. This woman did this to her, let her children torture her. And then let neighborhood kids get involved.
But you know what the sad
fun.
But you know what the sad thing is, there's still people out there like that. That would probably still
God,
do this.
I just wouldn't hope not. But
it's hard to fathom, but it totally happened.
I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened. There was, word got out, a cop investigated, and I think her little sister whispered to the cop, "If you get me out of here, I will tell you everything." So eventually they were caught, and she was arrested, but that whole thing is just
that's the most fucked up.
If you have the
that happened here in Indiana.
Yeah, if you have the it's a good movie to watch. I mean,
but definitely look up Jack Ketchum's work. I mean, you have The Red, you have The Woman, The Girl Next Door.
He also did The Woman with Lucky McKee, but I don't think that's anywhere near this movie here. Because
the actress did The Woman. Well, we'll say that for another podcast. I don't get into it.
But I would recommend the movie if you have the stomach for it. But it'll make you feel bad.
Yeah.
It'll definitely make you feel horrible. But so that's all I got on horror movies.
So that wraps up horror flicks based on true stories.
I actually had one that popped into my head real quick.
Yeah.
Wasn't The Strangers, which I really liked that movie.
Yeah, but
wasn't that based on the Keddy Camp murders?
I don't know that that is.
Or was the Keddy Camp murders kind of like that?
I think it was kind of like that.
I
think they use that as a base and they loosely exaggerated.
If you've never heard of the Keddy Camp
murders, I wanted you to get into this anyway, because every time you tell me this story, it creeps me the hell out.
Well, I'm not going to tell the story, honestly, but look up the Keddy Camp murders. This is a true story that really happened. These families went to a camp together, and one of the family's daughters went and stayed with the other family in the cabin next door, and when she came back the next day, her entire family was totally slaughtered. And this is true. They didn't hear a thing. They didn't see a thing.
And there was people next door the entire time.
There were people next door the entire time in a cabin like 20 feet away, and they didn't hear anything. Totally slaughtered.
But it wasn't like murdered. It was slaughtered.
Yeah, like horror movie
guts
style.
Pulled out, everything.
Type.
Yeah.
And never found the people who did.
If you've never seen that, and it's kind of, The Strangers is a different idea.
No, I like The Strangers. I actually like Liv Tyler as a scream queen.
Man, yeah, Liv Tyler was surprisingly good in The Strangers.
She was very good.
I mean, I don't think she's a bad actress, but I was surprised by her.
But she does a lot of different stuff, but man, I wish she would do more.
Yeah.
More stuff.
Getting back to the Keddy Camp murders, I really wish they would do a movie based on that.
They should do a straight up Keddy Camp murders movie. Yeah. That's a fucked up murder in American history. It's messed up.
It's messed up. Okay, so we'll wrap up this discussion on true stories. I'm sure there's a lot more. Kind of just covered some of the basic ones that, everybody knows about. But if you have any more on this discussion or tell us your thoughts on any of these movies, send us an email or tweet us.
Tweet us at tweetme@jamesdunn81.
Hey, listen
at twitter.com.
People, James is obviously distressed that he's not getting enough Twitter love. Tweet the man.
All you have to do is Twitter love. You're allowed multiple accounts on your Twitter, so just put on 40 Ounces of Horror on there so you'll get them all.
Oh.
Let's get towards wrapping this up and do our Netflix picks. These movies are on Netflix Watch Instant right now, and we are recommending them. So, James, would you like to go ahead and start?
The first one is a movie I talked about with the whole real-life scenario is The Entity. I would definitely check that out. And I've mentioned this one before, but just because it ties in with Udo Kier, Cigarette Burns. Cigarette Burns is on the instant queue, and I highly watch it. It has Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, who's also of Boondock Saints fame.
Saints.
So once again, Cigarette Burns and The Entity.
The Entity.
The Entity.
Yeah, I think we may have actually recommended the Cigarette Burns before, but hey,
yeah,
that's a good movie. Brandon, you got anything to recommend?
For the record.
He's like, Ren and Stimpy Season 1, Desperate Housewives.
Ren and Stimpy Season 1, yes. Desperate Housewives, no. For the record, this is the drunkest I've ever gotten in a recording of the 40 Ounces of Horror podcast.
Chad, you need to clap for this. The record. Chad's never clapped. There it is.
For the record.
There it is.
Also for the record.
I like how Brandon's hunched over. Looks like he's in prayer right now.
Also for the record.
He's about to have a wafer in his mouth.
Also for the record. On SQ right now. Poltergeist.
Wait, Poltergeist?
Poltergeist.
Oh, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, right. Which is a real movie.
I was way off. It's like Jake's Thanksgiving.
If you guys haven't seen Poltergeist, you suck as a horror fan. This movie is about Craig T. Nelson. He smokes some pot, and his little girl lives in the television. You gotta see it. Watch it. It's fucking awesome. There's like this midget old lady. It's awesome. Go fucking watch it.
Carrie Ann. Carrie Ann.
It's on Netflix.
All right. We need to wrap this up.
Dude,
Let me get to mine.
This episode has totally been sponsored by malt liquor.
Yes.
And I'm just saying for the record, Chad, if you had as much malt liquor as Brandon and I had, you'd be laughing just as much.
I've had my share of beer, but anyway, let me get mine real quick. The Silent Scream is a from 1980. It's kind of a classic.
It's got Vincent Price.
No. Kind of a haunted house movie. So 1980. It's one of those classic throwback slashers. Slasher haunted house. It's kind of weird. Has a kind of a twist and stuff, but that's a pretty decent movie. I'm recommending check it out. And also Inferno, Dario Argento's second movie in the Three Mothers trilogy. It's one of my favorites. Probably my favorite out of those.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this up before you quit making sentences.
And it's starting to smell in here a little bit. But
That's Brandon. Look at him quiet over there.
Brandon's about to pass out.
I know. He looks like a newborn guinea pig over there. He's got a red face. Need to throw some,
all right.
Some sawdust
okay,
on him.
So thanks for joining us here on the 40 Ounces of Horror podcast.
It's been a great time, guys.
A lot. Make sure to check out our website, 40OuncesHorror.com.
Send us more comments on Twitter.
Yeah, we love your comments on Twitter. I'm going to start a thing here. We started last week. We want boozing gone bad stories.
There you go.
There are so many good ones.
We want bad alcohol that you've drank and the bad experience that went along with it.
And maybe we'll try to recreate it. Maybe we'll pick up some of that bad alcohol.
But we want these stories on Twitter. We like to read them off. If you listened to the last episode, there were some good ones. Also, you can download us on iTunes and subscribe.
We're finally on iTunes.
We've been on iTunes. I just didn't realize it. But
good job, Chad.
We're on Stitcher now. Stitcher Radio. You can download us.
I still have a rotary cell phone.
No. But
you say no. No, you
we
don't.
Have a Facebook page. Please like our Facebook page. We have very, very many social media outlets, so check us out. And
JamesDunn81 at Twitter.
And mine's the Chad Buttram.
Like the Chad Buttram.
It's the
Chad Buttram.
The Chad Buttram, BTRUM.
And then 40 Ounces of Horror at Twitter.
Yeah, so Twitter has been the big one lately. But go to all the
And I know what our next episode is going to be about.
Okay, what is it going to be about?
Slasher films.
That's pretty broad.
I know it is, slasher films.
That's pretty broad.
All right, so apparently...
You know, a piece of prime rib when you see it, baby.
All right, apparently we're discussing slasher films in the next episode. So thanks for listening, and until next time...
Like George Romero says, stay scared.
And drink up. You're gonna burn in hell.